Okay, so our limud of Hilchos Loshon Hara, Sefer Chofetz Chaim, is l'schus refuah of Yosef Dov Ben Chayla. He should have a refuah shlema b'soich shochel Yisrael b'korov. An update on Martin on the on Mephibosheth being not the son of Shaul, as printed in the Art Scroll first edition, but being the grandson, the son of Yehoinason. So I've got here. I picked this up in Tiferes Yisrael Beis HaMedrash, it was lying around, and inside it says as follows. There have been four editions between, the one that I read to you from was from the first edition, which was 1999, 25 years ago. It says there were four editions between September 2001 and March 2005. This is the fifth edition, the ninth impression, March 2019. Okay, so it's 20 years after the first edition, and 5 years ago, and on the page it says that Mephibosheth was the son of King Shaul. So the mistake is still there after 20 years. And hopefully in the next edition it won't be. Or maybe if there's been an edition between the 2019 and today, it's been corrected. But if not, it needs to be corrected still.
So maybe the children consider. But you should write in to tell them at least.
Write in and tell them, he says.
Yeah.
No. What did Martin Harris do on the day?
I don't know.
It's on the group. He sent an email to Art Scroll straight away. And Shindy from Art Scroll wrote back to him. saying that they've noted it and they'll make sure that in the next edition it'll be corrected. And then Martin wrote back saying, thank you, Shindy. What I'm saying is that at the moment, I know the 1999 edition, it was no good, and until 2019, it was still not correct. Okay, let's get back to the halacha. It's absolutely clear enough. I'll show you the posuk.
It's really interesting to be in contact with Art Scroll. That can give you various examples. I've listened to them. Their makor is wrong and they've changed it.
Really? So Martin's written to them a few times. He's one of their frequent flyers. Okay, so Ronnie started learning with you yesterday the halacha of Loshon Hara about children. So the first halacha that the Chofetz Chaim puts away, because that's the Yiddish, I like the Vekha halacha. Yeah, but the first halacha is that children are bichlal loiselech rochil ba'amecho. They're called amisecho, they're called amecho. It's also to speak Loshon Hara about children, equally the same as it's also to speak Loshon Hara about Jewish adults. That's number one. And there are many, many occasions when people do speak, not myself and not anybody in this room, but there are people who speak inadvertently Loshon Hara about children, and there are children who speak Loshon Hara about children, and there are teachers who speak Loshon Hara about children, and there are parents who speak Loshon Hara about children, and they think that, they don't even think that it might be also. So, you've got all the children around on Sunday afternoon, suddenly there's a child in the garden screaming, and one mother runs out and she says, I recognise that voice, it's my Yankala who's out there screaming. She runs out, and then she comes back 5 minutes later, and everybody says, no, what happened? And so it depends. If she says that my Yankala tripped, he fell over, and he grazed his leg, and he tore his trousers, and he was screaming, that's fine. There's no Loshon Hara involved. But if she comes back and says that Yankala's cousin slapped him across the face, or they had an argument over something, and one child hit the other, so he said, but I calmed him down, he's okay now, they're all right. Yeah, you spoke with Loshon Hara about the child who caused the damage, the child who caused the injury, the child who caused who upset the other child. And there's no heter whatsoever. Similarly, he said teachers very often ask children to tell them who did this. Yeah, there's treacle on the chair, the Rebbe sat down on it, and then when he stood up, the chair came with him, and he says, who did this? And I'm going to keep you all here until I find out. And I'm going to give you all a detention, and who knows what.
Those were the days.
Those were the days, exactly, yeah. Well, those were the days was when you get the cane for it.
Can you come and say the children in the shul, I don't want to say the name,
Very
badly, they put their coats on
there's
the floor,
be okay, so there's going to be a shear at some stage when it becomes so vague as to who did it, that maybe it's not Loshon Hara. Although we did learn that we learned from the Novi, that he said, "Besoich am tameis tofasayim, onoichi yoishev," that you're not allowed to speak about Klal Yisrael in general. You're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara about a sect. You're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara about a chassidus, or about a yeshiva, or whatever it is. So, exactly, you know, so if you're speaking about that the kids, let's say, at the end of davening, I'm about to go home after Musaf on Shabbos, yeah, and it's disgusting. The Beis HaMedrash is covered in sweet wrappers. You know, the kids get sweets, they get chocolates, they get nash, and they throw it all on the floor. They tuck it here, they tuck it there, put it under the table, leave it on the table, etc.
He's coming 5 minutes late, apparently.
He's coming 5 minutes late. Okay, fine. Yeah. So,
it's true.
Right, and it is true.
Yes.
But you're speaking. And says the Chofetz Chaim. Actually, he says there's two things wrong there. Number one, you're speaking about the children in the shul, so therefore maybe each one of us is a suspect. But secondly, indirectly, you're criticizing the parents. You're saying that the parents don't really bring their children up very well. The Horaya, look at the way they treat the Beis HaMedrash.
Three people know them. Yeah?
All the books that they take out in order to read, all the children's books are strewn all over the Beis HaMedrash. An adult has to go around picking them up, putting them on the shelf at the back again.
Three people knows about it, it's not Lashon
Hara. Of course. Milsa de Misamra Bapit Losa, something that is said in front of three people. Right? This is not public knowledge, but a lot of people wouldn't even realize.
You mean in the class, all the kids know?
Well, maybe, I don't know. I'm not sure. It's something we will be learning about Apet Losa, about things that are in the public domain, if you like, the things that are known about.
How can you bring up your children if you don't tell them what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad,
you can.
Correct behavior?
You can. You tell them all of that. You teach them all of that. But, I remember once we were walking down Brent Street after a kiddush on Shabbos in Hendon Hadass. And there was a family in front of us, and the little child ran out into the road. And there's a screeching of brakes, a car slams on the brakes, and the child is almost run over, but he stopped in time, Baruch Hashem. The parent goes running into the street, schleps the child off the street, screaming at this kid, and lifted their hands, about to give the child a punch. And a woman who was walking past grabbed the father's hand, like that. And she said to him, "What do you think you're doing?" So he said, "He ran out onto the street. He nearly got killed." Yeah. So he said, "Well, it's my father. You know, it's my child. I have a duty. I'm teaching him. You know, you're going to hit your child." I said, "Yes." I said, "Why are you going to hit your child?" She said. By the way, she said, "I'm a teacher." Yeah. She said, "Why are you going to hit your child? You're going to hit your child because you are frustrated at yourself that you haven't taught him not to run out into the street." He said, "You're frustrated at your own inadequacy and you're taking it out on the child." That's what he said. He said, "You shouldn't be hitting your child. You should be sitting your child down and teaching him the highway code and taking him out onto the street." He said, "How many times," he said, "have you actually taken your child onto a street and taught them out across the road?" "Well, they're teaching that in school," he said. That's what he said. Yeah. So she said, "We may teach it in school, but doesn't absolve you from your responsibility as a parent." He said, "Instead of hitting your child, sit down, talk to them, explain them the highway code, take them up onto take them outside onto the road, teach them how to cross, look right, look left, look right again, and then only when it's safe you should cross, etc., etc." Yeah. So we do a lot of things, right, as parents, which can very often involve, now we have a lot of situations which happen very often that a child comes home from school and says, "Ploiny did something to me. So-and-so stole my sandwiches." Yeah. Or we had a fight. And it could be all sorts of things. Yeah. And sometimes the child comes home and complains about the teacher, that the teacher treated him unfairly, that the teacher found him guilty of doing something when in fact he was innocent, etc. Yeah. Now, that is simple, straightforward Lashon Hara told to you by one person. We know the rule. The rule is you're allowed to protect yourself, but you're not allowed to believe the story. You can take precautions for the future. So you have to sit down with your child, etc., etc., but you're not allowed to believe the story, and you can't phone up the teacher and start complaining about the teacher. Anyway, tomorrow, Billy Ager, we'll carry on.
Start your day the Torah Way, Northwest London, Thursday, Kof Beis, ER, 37th, Debbie Omer, 30th of May, Diane Danny Kadar, Shlita. Rus and revoking Geirus. This week's Torah is sponsored jointly by family Wiesenfeld, the Nishmas Rav Ephraim Fischel, the Rav Yoel Aryeh Zoran Abrocho, Rav Fischel Dix Baruch of Antwerp, whose Yahrzeit was yesterday, and also by family of Lachman Luchavit, Simchas Bar Mitzvah of Aryeh Fischel, and Yohid Mitzvah of Lash Shabbos, Yerotin Shitu Erov, Uz Kein of Rav Nachas, Yemenu Kol Yotze, Cholatzehem, Rizchus HaShivoyim VaChayolim, Bamilchamo, Shachzur, Votzeim, Nishalom, Bimheiro.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. Nice to be back. And apologies for the slight delay. Thank you very much. So, the topic we want to discuss this morning, Ezes Hashem, is Giur in relation to Megillas Rus, and whether it's possible for a Giur to be revoked. And it's very closely connected with the story of in Megillas Rus. As we know, Baruch Hashem people want to become Geirim, and if they are doing it with the right motives, the Shem Shemayim, thank you very much, with the right motives, the Shem Shemayim, then it's beautiful, yeah? The Torah says in 36 places in the Torah that we have to miss a Ger, to love the Ger, to look after the Ger, not to cheat the Ger, and so on and so forth. So of course, a Ger is someone who we respect dearly. Problem is, not always are they doing it with the right motives, and not always do they continue the path which they commit to. But the question is, what do the based in nowadays of anything with the, to be able to deal with such situations? So that's the practical question, but we need to go into the theory, and that's going to be the story in Megillas Rus. So in the Gemara Yevamos, we learn the sugi of Hilchas Gira comes from the Gemara Yevamos. And the Gemara Yevamos learns it out from Perek Aleph and Megillas Rus, many Dine Geirus. So probably the most famous one, which you know, is that when Naomi and Rus are having their conversation, and Rus says, "Al tifki bi lozveich loshub me'acharayich, stop pressurizing me. Ki el asher telchi eilech, ubasher tolini olin, ameich ami velehayich elehay." Yeah, famous words. Wherever you go, and the Gemara says, yeah, where you will sleep, I will sleep. Etzil chesichud, you are avodah zara, my avodah zara, etc. Yeah,
your
God. I'm saying, I'll stay away. Hilchas avodah zara, stay away from. Asher telchi eilech, hilchas tchum. Yeah, all the halachas, I'm going to keep them. Clearly implying that what was she Jewish yet?
No.
Clearly not. She's not Jewish, right? If she's saying I'm going to do all of this, also. The Gemara learns out from the next pasuk, "Vatirik misametzes hi lo leches itah v'tachdel ledaber ileav." Naomi saw that Rus was so committed and so enthusiastic about this, and she said, "Okay, I'm not going to stop you anymore from. I'm not going to dissuade you anymore." The Gemara in Yevamos learns out from this that once you see the commitment from the ger, then actually you stop dissuade. Though at the beginning we dissuade, but once you see a firm commitment, the quicker you do it, the better. We learn that from this. And various other psukim in Perek Aleph, which we learn Hilchas Gira from, which clearly implies that Rus was not Jewish. Otherwise, how could you be learning Hilchas Gira from it?
But she wasn't married either.
Why was she not married?
She's not married.
So then the problem is, if we're going to say she wasn't Jewish, and she was accepting Gior there with the whole conversation with Naomi, then there's huge problems. The biggest problem is the whole Perek Dalet of Rus falls away. Because the whole Perek Dalet of Rus is about Yibum, about Eshes Hameis, the Pasuk says. Eshes Hameis, the wife of the dead. How can there be Eshes Hameis if she wasn't Jewish? Remember, Machil and Kilin have died already. There's no chance after the Gira to marry them. They've died. So this whole Goyal, this whole Redeemer, this whole Mitzvah Yibum, this whole... There's no Shachas anymore because she wasn't Jewish. Elomai, you have to say she was Jewish. And therefore there's a whole Sugi of Yibum, there's a whole Sugi of Goyal, there's a whole Sugi of Redeeming. But if she was Jewish, then what's the whole... These are all halachas of Hilchas Gira coming. It doesn't make any sense. Furthermore, the Gemara in Bava Basra says... The Machlin and Kilin, Gedolei Hador Hoyu. They were the Parnasim, they were the leaders of the generation. And why did they die?
What did the Gemara say? Why did they die? Because?
Inon Tzara.
Because they didn't stay with the Bnei Sol and Tzara. They left him Ayav. Okay, it's a bad thing. Fine. Gedole Hador. But they were married to non-Jewish women.
They were living.
They were married and living with non-Jewish women. And they were... that's the Avera you want to say that they left. It's much simpler Avera that they married a non-Jewish woman, Moabites. So, you know, how do we... Okay, you know what I mean by marry? I mean to live with. It's the, okay, not the halachic marriage. It's the same thing, fine? And understand your point. We mean to live together, what we call secular marriage, if you like.
Well, if they made a gear, she wanted to send them back. Only route.
But if she made a gear, if you're saying they made a gear and they were Jewish, how can Naomi be dissuading her to send her back? Why would you do that?
Because she made a gear before, probably.
Yeah, but if she
now
made a gear,
at least go back to you.
But why would you want to send her to Moav? And not to come with her back to her nation if she's Jewish.
Yeah.
That's an internal huge issue within Megillas Rus. Yeah. How do we understand the position of these two women, Rus and Orpah? Were they Jewish or were they not Jewish when Machlin and Kilion married them or began to live with them? If you're going to say that they were converted and they lived with them, Kedas v'Chadin, then, and the whole Perek Dalet makes sense, Hilchas Yibum, but then how are we learning Hilchas Gior from afterwards? How are we learning Hilchas Gior from Rus? And if you're going to say they weren't Jewish, and hence we can learn out in Perek Aleph all Hilchas Gior, then the whole Perek Dalet falls away, because there's no Yibum, there's no Ishas Ameis, and so on and so forth. And actually, there's a Machlokes Rashi about this, you should know. Rashi, on the one hand, says that they were Jewish, and Ibn Ezra says they weren't. Okay? So, there's a machlokes that's showing about this, but we have to try to understand what's going on here. So, when it comes to Giyur, there are some fundamental things which have to be fulfilled in order for it to be a kosher Giyur. Of course, for a man, you need Bris Mila. And of course, you also need Tvilas mikveh, bifnei gimel, in front of three ksherim. Without that, if you don't have bris milah for male, and you don't have tvilas mikveh in front of gimel ksherim, there's no geirus. But there's one other important point needed. What else is needed for a geirus to work?
Kabbalas mitzvahs.
Okay, that's in the Gemara Yevamos, it's in Shulchan Aruch. You need kabbalas and the Rambam. You need kabbalas mitzvahs. Now, what does Kabbalah's mitzvahs mean? Because on the one hand, the Beis Yosef brings in Hilchas Gior from the Rishonim that there's no need, and in fact, it's pretty clear in the Gemara this as well, that there's no need to tell the Ger, the potential Ger, all the mitzvahs. In fact, the Gemara says, Modiyinoi, we tell the Ger, Miktsas mitzvahs chamros and Miktsas mitzvahs kalos. We tell them some of the mitzvahs. And Beis Yosef is posuk that it's not hodas hamitzvahs is not necessary. You don't have to tell them all the mitzvahs. So how do we square that with that you have to have kabbalas mitzvahs? Teretz is very simple. There's a chiluk between hodas mitzvahs and kabbalas mitzvahs. It's shayach to be mekabel something even though you don't know exactly what it is. As we know, we did Bnei Yisrael, Na'aseh Bnei Yisrael. We were mekabel everything, then we didn't know what it was. So you don't have to know every single din and every single... It's impossible that for Geir Tehillah to know every single din. Right? We tell them the main things, the main parts, Miktsas, Mitzvahs, Chamuris, Miktsas, Mitzvahs, Kalos. We tell them the main things, and we suffice on that. But at the time of Giyur, at the time of going into the Mikvah, they have to be Mekabel all the Mitzvahs. Ad Kadei Kach, if they're Mekabel all the Mitzvahs, aside from one, it's not a Giyur. It's not a Giyur. If you mekabel all the mitzvahs, say, okay, I don't want, a woman says, I don't want to cover my hair. I don't believe women need to cover their hair. It's not necessary now. That would not be a giyur. So there's an interesting tshuva, Nachi Ezer. He said, does every single woman who megayin nowadays, she covers her hair straight away after mikvah? How do I? It doesn't happen. Always. Right, so what's pshat? So how can a beis din be megayin someone
who is not going to cover her hair straight away after she goes to the mikveh, and after she gets married, she has to cover her straight away. She doesn't do that. Why didn't we revoke? We say it wasn't a kosher gir, that we see she wasn't mekabel mitzvahs. Teretz says, Dachi Ezer, there's a chilek between being mekabel. We all mekabel Torah. We all mekabel mitzvahs every Shavuos. Do we do all the mitzvahs? We make mistakes, right? It's a chiluk whether you're makabel and you want to do something and you aspirationally and ideally want to do it. Lamaisa, I'm not there yet. But I'm makabel it. I know it's the right thing. To someone who says, no, I don't believe this is the right thing. I don't want to do it. Yeah? Then that's a rejection of mitzvahs. And that, even if you keep every single other halach in the Torah, it's not going to be a gira because you haven't been makabel all the mitzvahs. If I'm mekabel and I say I'm not yet there, and mitzvah Hashem, I'll be there one day, fine, that would work. So Kabbalah's mitzvahs is an essential ingredient to be able to do any kind of gear. Okay? So, to summarize, what we have so far is that we, in order to, for there to be a gear, you have to have for men and women both mikveh, bifnei gimel, and also kabbalas mitzvahs, and for a man, you need to have bris milah as well. Okay? Now, there's an interesting Rambam in Hilchas Asuri Bia, Perek Yud Gimel. So the Rambam says, don't we find men in the Nevi'im who seem to have married non-Jewish women? Al yale adatcha she Shimshon ha-Moshiach es Yisrael. Shimshon, who did Shimshon marry?
Delilah.
What happened there? Oh, Shlomo Melech Yisrael. Nosu noshim nochiyes begeyusam. Do not think they married non-Jewish women. Ere seda dova kachu. She mitzvah nechoyno k'shiovei agera gerus lizgaya boitkin achrof shema biglal momen shiitoi b'shul sroa shiizkelo mipnei hapachat boli klon tzedas. First we check when someone wants to convert. Are you doing it for marriage? Are you doing it for power? Are you doing it for money? Jews are clever. I've heard people say this. Jews are clever, only part of the nation. Im ishu, boitkin achrof shema ein avlatsa b'shiudis. Im loy nimtzelem ilo, if we don't see any ulterior motive, we tell them how difficult it is to be a Jew. It's not worth it. If they accept it, then accept them. If we see that there's no ulterior motive, and we've told them the Torah of being mekabel mitzvahs, and they still want to, great, we take them in. During the Gemara tells us that during the times of Beit David and Shlomo, they didn't wear mekabel gerim. Why? Because Malchus David, the Jews were sovereign and they were doing well, and perhaps the non-Jewish people wanted to convert because they were scared of being under a Jewish sovereign nation. Also in the times of Shlomo, everything was going well, and perhaps they only were Megair because they want to be part of the successful Jewish nation. The Afal PK, how you gave harbe miskairim b'midav Hashem ifnei hediotis. Meaning, to do a gir, I didn't say before you need gimel dayonim. I said you need gimel hediotis. Theoretically speaking, okay, maybe we should stop the recording here. But theoretically speaking, if three regular Shema Torah mitzvahs people take a man or a woman into a mikveh, here around the corner, you take him into the mikveh, and they say he's got a bris milah, the shame gerus, and he says he's mekabel mitzvahs, and he does it in front of three regular Jewish people.
Instructed by the priest?
No. No, I'm saying even without that, I'm saying it would be very difficult to say we wouldn't accept him, but it would be difficult to say he's not Jewish. Yeah, there's an institution. And then there's Lemaisa. So institutionally, we made Dovid Hashlema, we're not makabel gerim. People did it. So what's the status of those gerim? What do we do with those gerim? Lemaisa, they were megarim for the gimel adiotis. Ah, says the Rambam. Where are we? Were you based in Agadol Choshin Lohem Loi Doichin Oysen Achashatovlu? So the institutionalized based in, on the one hand, we can't say they're not Jewish. So we can't say don't go away. Mikol Mokum, velo mikarvin oisom. But also, neither did we say, come, Mubarak for Shabbos, come, have an aliyah. Ad shetire achrisom. Until we see how they're going to live. Are they going to live a Jewish life? Uh-huh. If we see, after a few months, after a few years, they live in Jewish life, fine. So that, okay, so now we can accept that gear, there was a true Kabbalah's mitzvahs. Right? So meaning like this, what's the question?
It's about pachay, then accept gerim.
Yes.
That's the rabbi, I know, it's misyahadim, kinafal
pachay. Achad ha-yodim alehem. Question is, what does misyahadim mean? Does misyahadim mean? It's a good question. Pasuk in Megillas Esther, Rabin, that when things change, when hafoichu, the pasuk says, "Rabim me'amehoritz misyahadim kinafal pachad yehudim alehem." Seems to you understanding misyahadim to mean geiris. Then misyahadim means that misyahadim can mean they identified as Jewish. I don't know. That's an interesting question. I don't answer. I'm saying it's not muchach misyahadim means megayir. Could be you identify as Yehudi. So therefore, says the Rambam. And this is halacha in Shulchan Aruch as well. That when, if someone has been misguided through an institutionalized Beis Din, for example, the Rabbanut in Israel now has a list of Bati Dinim across the world, where if a ger comes to one of those Bati Dinim, don't ask questions. I, Lamaisa, he or she is in Frum now? We'll talk about that in a second. We'll talk about that. But that you can't question, it would be wrong to say, he's not keeping Shabbos now. He was Megara 2 years ago, not keeping Shabbos now. I'm not going to treat him as a Yid anymore. That would be wrong. The Maaseh, he went through a Beis Din properly. There was Kabbalah's mitzvahs. At the time, you have to believe and accept that there was a Kabbalah's mitzvahs. If it was done in one of these kangaroo Batei Dinim, which there are many in America, the beautiful thing about England and the Commonwealth countries is that there's institutionalized Beis Din. It makes you see the difference, huge difference. When you work in a Beis Din, you see when gittin come from random rabbonim in America making mistakes, and this, you know, when there's in England, in South Africa, in Canada, in Australia, there's an institutionalized Beis Din where you know you don't deal with gittin, and it's the Beis Din does. And if it comes from Beis Din, then it's recognized. In America, every three people get together, make a get, and this huge mechshelah didn't come from this. So if you see someone comes from one of these Bati Dinim and says, yeah, I was misguided through them, okay, then you have to see. I don't know. I'm not going to push you away, because most likely it's Bifnei Gimel Hediotis. Mitzacheni, I'm not 100% sure that there was a proper Kabbalah's mitzvahs. So let's wait. We'll see. I'll see you for the next, I'll look at and see how you're behaving the next few months. And then we can make a decision. That's what happened with Rusan Orpah. Rusan Orpah did some kind of gear. Machlin and Kilian would not have married, Gedolei HaDor would not have married pure non-Jewish woman. They did a gear. But that gear was for what purpose? L'shem Ishus. It was for marriage purposes. So there's already an Ilah there, there's a motive there. So we have to be suspicious. What kind of gear was this? Time will tell. Let's see. If they end up being committed to Torah mitzvahs, then it's Gale Hadova Lemafreya that there was a proper gear. If, however, we see they're not interested and they don't stay committed, then it's Gale Hadova Lemafreya, we see retroactively, that there wasn't a proper gear. And to the Teretz is that both Rus and Orpah did a gear. But at the end of the day, at the end of the Megillah, only Rus was Jewish, Orpah wasn't Jewish. Why? They both did a gil. But that gil was a gil to Shem Ishus. It wasn't a proper gil. So then, Rus is being tested by Naomi. Let's see. Was this a real commitment? Do you still want to go through it? All the halachas I'm going to keep, even though my husband's dead. I've got nothing to gain from this anymore. So that was a proper gear. So you were always Jewish from the beginning. Hence the whole Perek Dalet makes sense. We can do Goyal, we can do Yibum, that's all necessary. Orpah, okay, he's died. There's no point me coming, I'll go back.
Nizgal Adar Nafreya, there was no Kabbalah's mitzvahs. And therefore she went back. I think it's a beautiful pshat in the Megillah. You see, there's two women, both did the Giyur, but actually, only one of them was Jewish, the other wasn't Jewish, because it's all Torah and the Kabbalah's mitzvahs. Lemaisa, how do we know if a ger is being the Kabbalah mitzvahs or not? A basin, a proper basin. How do they know? So the basin says, I call it for any basin. The basin only, there are some things where you can know for sure there was no Kabbalah's mitzvahs. So I once heard from maybe Tzach Yosef, the conference of Bate Dinim, where he said a story which happened with him. There was a woman who was misgaya with the Rabbanut during the week, whatever day it was. And, okay, she said him a couple of mitzvahs, everything fine. Okay. The following Shabbos, after her gear, she goes on a flight back to her country in Eastern Europe, wherever it was, Romania or something. Would you invalidate that gear?
According to what you said, no.
Oh, no, because we can't. We don't know.
It was done in the first place.
But they had proof that she had booked the ticket before the gear. So that means when you're in the mikveh and you're makabel mitzvahs, you were lying. Because you knew you had booked a ticket before to travel the following Shabbos. If I didn't have that proof, then you're out. I got no proof. B'shas the mikveh, she was makabel mitzvahs. Next day she changed her mind, she went and bought a ticket and went to fly on the following Shabbos. Okay, we can't throw her, we can't chuck her out, we can't revoke the gear. But here, where there was a clear... There's a clear reusa. That because she had booked the ticket before the tefillah in the mikveh, that means there was not a full Kabbalah's mitzvahs.
No, she did not before. She could not
booked it.
No. Everyone. There's most,
she was thinking in the mikveh she was going to cancel it.
Chassid. Okay, say that. You know. You have to be reasonable. You know, there's a gvul at how much you can be done. You know what I mean? You have to.
When she booked the ticket, had she ordered the kosher meal?
Okay, so that's no raya, because that you can say I bring my own food with. Many people don't book kosher meals. You know what I mean? People don't like airplane food. So the point is, so just in terms of English. There's no such thing as nullifying. It depends what the word nullifying means in English. Meaning, there is no such thing as revoke. Let's go back. There's no such thing as revoking a giyur. Once someone is a Jew, they are a Jew. That stays forever. However, what you can do is nullify it, meaning there was never a giyur at the beginning. Mafreya, there's no giyur. Once someone has been through and is clear. And as he was a Jew or she was a Jew, that's it, finished. You're not going back from that, even if they're not makabel Torah mitzvahs later on. But if it was never done 100%, that was done with the motive, the shem ishus, and then you see later on, it's dodgy, then perhaps. So I'm going to end with a psak din from the Rabbanut. This happened in 1991 or something, the beginning of the 1990s. There's a psak din, you can read this, is a fascinating story. A woman had been misgaya in Denmark, from Denmark, under the Rabbanut. Okay?
Rabbanut where?
In, of course, in Eretz Yisrael. Under the Rabbanut, in Eretz Yisrael, there's been misgaya, and she'd got married to someone. Okay? So it was a shame issues. 2007, they got this couple. Got divorced. They went to the local based in Ashdod, and they got divorced. For some reason, sometime later, a few months later, that based in realized this woman had been a gerus, and they went to look back and they checked, and she was completely not from at all. And the based in held the get which we did a couple of months ago was invalid. There was no need for the get. She wasn't Jewish, and the children from this marriage are not Jewish. That's what this Beis Din held. Now, she, of course, wasn't from, but she wanted to be Jewish, she wanted the children to be Jewish. And so she appealed to the Bedina Gadol. Beis Din Gadol, the Supreme Court, in Yerushalayim, of the Rabbanut. And this came before three Dayanim. Rav Ezer Bar Shalom, Duchovsky, and Rav Sherman. Okay, I think two of the three are now retired. The three pretty famous and big Dayanim in the Bedina Gadol. And this whole sugya which we talked about came up in this context. And Lemaisa, I'm not going to go through all the details forwards and backwards, but Lemaisa, the Beis Din was posek 2-1, so if Sherman was the one who didn't agree, that even though there was Eidus that already 2 months after Hagira in 1991, she was using electricity on Shabbos, and, you know, she had basically given everything up within a few months. And also another problem was with Sherman, the problem was that the husband didn't take part at all in the tahalich, in the process. And that's a gerut which is bound to fail. If you don't have both together, even if he's Jewish or she's Jewish, the spouse always has to take part. Because if he's learning all the halachas, she's learning all the halachas, and the other one doesn't, then it's not going to last. He didn't. The husband didn't take part in anything, and many kinds of reyuses, and strong reyuses. But nonetheless, the Beis Din in 1991 was the Beis Din under the Rabbanut. They were, you know, ain a dime mashing a word. At that time, they accepted. She became Jewish then. I lemaisa a few months after she was given. What can we do? Yisrael shechot, afa pishechot on Yisrael. That applies. But so the mice that happened, and they accepted all of that. So, they were posting the children were Jewish, and the get was a get. Correct, it was a necessary get, and the get was a get. So just to bring out this, the importance of Kabbalah's mitzvahs, and one final point I say is a tshuva from Moshe, fascinating tshuva. Let's say a woman is miskayim, and then she has children, Jewish children, right? And then she wants to give it all up. And she also wants her children to be not Jewish. You know what she says? She comes to the base and says, you know, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, when I was Megayer, I said I was Mekabel all the mitzvahs. I was lying. I had in mind when I went to the mikveh, I did not want to become Jewish. Huh? Why not?
Sorry, so why did she do what she was doing? Because she wanted to get married.
I wanted to pretend, I wanted to get married, yeah.
Yeah.
I did it just to get married, I had no intention to be a Kabbalah mitzvah.
Because
you mashed the children. Beseder, mashed the children, but then you can't just say you're going to... You're not Rasha, you're not Nehemon. You're very good. Yeah, we don't believe you. We don't believe you. We won't give you an Nehemonis for your children. Zichanov. Even for yourself, we're not going to accept that. Because the Maisa at the time, we go after what you said. We can't see into your heart. We go after what you said. And now, later on, you want to you say it's not true. No, we're not going to accept that. So to summarize, in conclusion, what was the title of the Shir? Rus and revoking or nullification of the Urim?
Revoking.
So can a Geirus be revoked? What's the answer? Can a Geirus be revoked?
No.
Once you're a ger forever. Can it be nullified? Can the geirus be nullified? Yes, by showing that there was never a ger in the first place. That's shaykh. And that explains the whole story with Rus and Orpah. That there was a ger with Rus and Orpah, but that ger was a ger of the Shemishas. And so we have to see, like the Rambam says, we go to the end and see, we see how far they're willing to take it. Rus was willing to take it very far, hence, that's Nisgala Ador Mafreya, that was a Gerus, a true Gerus, and therefore she was able to do Yibum, she was able to do, to be a Boyas, to be the Goyal, as Orpah didn't. And therefore,
it was a motive from your story.
Like I told you, there's a chiluk between, remember the Rambam told us about Bimei David and Shloima. David, the Bote Dino of David and Shloima did not accept Gerim, but Hediotis were doing Gerus. So those Giurim Bifnei Gimel Hediotis, that the Rambam said we don't know, we have to see. But once something's been done under institutionalized and properly, and they've been accepted in the Danamash and Avernus, and if...
Even though it was a lie.
How do you know it's a lie? If you have evidence it's a lie, then fine, like the story we gave. where there was evidence b'shas kabbalas mitzvahs, and of course, even if the biggest dayanim is not going to help, because there's evidence that b'shas kabbalas mitzvahs, there's no kabbalas mitzvahs.
In that case,
she had the plane. She had the plane ticket to go and travel. That means b'shas she went to the mikveh. There was no intention for kabbalas mitzvahs.
The story where they're based in two against one.
So that was they were allowed the gear there. Because there they had no evidence that she was a Megayer.
Yeah, no.
That was done on a based in under the Rabbanut.
Right.
Proper.
If she did it Lashemishus, there was a motive then.
Who? Rusin Arpa?
Yeah.
Correct.
So.
Which is why we had to see it then. But precisely.
But the is not good.
You're right. Geir Shemishus is not good, but it works. It might say, but the Evidence works. Geir Shemishus works, but the Evidence, yes, it does. We have to see till then.
You have to say that Mafla and Chilion believed at the time that they were doing
Shem Shemai. Yes.
And we only found out afterwards that Orpah wasn't.
Correct. Which means, by the way, that Chilion was living with a non-Jew. The Mafra was living with a non-Jew.
And that's all his children?
The Chor would be non-Jewish.
Doesn't mention.
We don't know anything about them. But if
they have children.
Oh, it doesn't say.
They didn't have children.
No children.
Is Machlan says that? Okay. Very good.
Yeah, they went down once again.
According to Rashi, if Orpah was Jewish, then the last. He said Orpah was Jewish, so God has some the last.
It looks like the truth of the situation.
I don't know how well that goes down in the No, at all.
Remember we had this famous Gare David forecast.
Because
he was the art, like the, you know, the most famous Gare.
More exciting features than
done everything.
The more than the father of the daughter.
What happened to him? He was a doctor.
I'm still a doctor.
He suddenly became, got involved with the Rolling Stones. And they had him, he's taken out a cruise.
Okay, but nonetheless. Okay, fine. V'choizan, Baruch Hashem, Go'al Mitzrayel, V'loi Go'el Mitzrayel, K'moi B'tvil. Now, for all us linguists here, which I'm not amongst them, but I'm very embarrassed to talk about the couple of tons of people who are standing here, Go'el is a say that, or will do, and Go'al is he did. What? Go'el is the Redeemer.
Yes.
Okay. And Go'al.
No,
okay.
No.
Go'el to be. And you got here, Charlie. I knew it. And I learned another one.
Go'el might mean the Redeemer, like you said, of Israel, or who redeems Israel. It could be a verb. Mm-hmm. It's either a noun, Go'el Israel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Go'el.
And Go'al Israel is just
a. Go'al Israel is a past.
Because this can have a good or should offer, because Go'al is talking about the good that happened. Well, but Marovis, there are some shuls, monks amongst them, who say Marovis on Yom Tov. And I thought, okay, an oratorio match. And I'm in the sign, Melech Tzur Yisrael v'goyaroi. Or Mephakfakin Habib, they're not happy with this. However, I've heard in the reaction a minute, the Abba became, Yosef Tzur Yisrael, Go'al Yisrael, Kamoy B'shari, Yom Yisrael Shana, for example, the L, the 7, the 12, the Shavuot, the I don't know what they do there.
One for those who say it's just Marovis, and one for those who don't. He's saying that even those who say it's
should
say Go'al.
Yeah. For the Yeah, the other. And doing that, they were frustrated.
It's all about something done before.
Early.
I think he said creation on the fourth night. And then he kissed in the minion, he was with the minion. Yeah, we said he was with the minion.
Oh, so it has to be in the thousand years before Krishna. Whatever reason, it may be getting late. I think maybe you mean, but you come late and you double Shavuot Esra first. And afterwards, you say, but Krishna, then you're allowed to stand for you and Eva because everyone knows it's not Krishna Esra, you double Shavuot Esra. But this guy just said, off you went. But that's a third trap, you double Shavuot Esra first. And afterwards, that doesn't mean it's done with a minion. The double with the minion, it won't be Nika because Rosh Hashanah is called your name first. Okay.
If Baruch Hashem Lo Elam Umayin is a substitute for Shvon Esser, then Yuzicha should not stand.
Correct.
But if Baruch Hashem Lo Elam Umayin is anyway,
but the problem is,
because you're davening reading now early, so you're going to say Krishna later.
That
means that you want to show that if you're standing, then you want to be your Shmeneser. If you're sitting, you're demonstrating.
But if you
dance with
the
minion,
you can stand.
Ah, if you dance with the Bukhara, which means that you're not really dancing with Shmeneser as part of Maghav. Now you're dancing it separately because they.
Yeah, I got one. You know which one? They made the whole set.